And I believe I have with us on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I am good. How are you, Rabbi?
Thank God everything is good.
So this song, the Shah Shah Shah, the Rabbi is coming, what year, what times is it? Could it be in the early 30s?
Good question.
Okay, I will investigate that.
So that's why I'll leave that as your homework.
I will do that.
Wow.
So Parashat Bo.
Yes, a very, very fascinating parasha, because we see that it is the last three of the 10 plagues brought on Egypt in this week's Torah portion. Locust, darkness, and death of all the firstborn of the Egyptians, which are going to be killed at the stroke of midnight. You know, it's interesting that one of the things that it says, Rashi, the main commentator on Rashi, on the Torah, sorry, says, it's, by God it says that it was exactly, precise, Bachatziah Leil, exactly the stroke of midnight, is when he was going to strike the firstborn. And it's interesting because every word that it says in Torah is specific. And why is it that it says exactly midnight? Because you and I, if I tell you I'm going to be at your house at midnight, I might be there a minute before, I might be there 3 minutes after. I can't guarantee you I'm going to be there exactly at the stroke of midnight. Because I don't have that ability. But when God said I'm going to be there exactly midnight, it means midnight precisely. We also learn in this week's Torah portion, God commands the first mitzvah to be given to the people of the Jewish people to establish a calendar based on the monthly rebirth of the moon. And then he goes on to say that the Israelites are also instructed to bring a Passover offering to God. A lamb has to be slaughtered and his blood sprinkled on the doorpost of every Israelite home so that God should pass over these homes. The roasted meat of the offering is to be eaten at night together with matzah and the bitter herb. Now, very, very interesting, because, you know, a few days prior to Egypt being struck with the mighty 10th plague, God gave the Jewish people instructions through Moses how to prepare for the imminent redemption. And like we just said, he told them on the 14th day of Nisan that they would take a lamb to be slaughtered, so on and so forth. And at night, they would partake of a festive meal as a prelude to their redemption. Now, we have to take note to what God was saying. God specified what was to be eaten with the lamb meat and how it should be prepared. He also forbade certain methods of preparation. In other words, do not eat it underdone or cooked in water, but only roasted by fire. So I've always wondered, thinking about it, why God insists that the meat should be roasted. You know, it's natural. Human palates are very different from one another.
Yeah.
What is delicious to one is not to the other. What one likes, the other hates. Now, since with this meal, the Jews celebrated their freedom, why not allow them to participate in freedom and do what they wanted to do in freedom, to eat the meat according to their liking? No, why would I feel free and happy if I'm eating something that, I don't really like that much? And in fact, the Torah says, regarding the parts of the animals the Kohen received from the offering, I've given them to you for greatness. And the Gemara, Talmud says, that they may be eaten roasted, stewed, or boiled in the manner which kings prefer. And since the king eats the tasty manner he prefers, the Kohen too may eat the offering roasted, overcooked, or cooked. But if so, then he can eat it how he wants. Why, in regards to the Pesach offering, did God adamantly insist that it be eaten only roasted? You know, so searching for an answer, I came across a very interesting insight. Partially raw and fully cooked meat hardly have an aroma. They don't really smell.
Yeah.
And roasted meat, however, can be smelled at a distance. You know, when you barbecue, you can smell someone's barbecue a mile away. So the Jews slaved in Egypt for many years and were petrified of the Egyptian masters. And God commands to offer sheep, the animal worshipped by the Egyptians, as a Pesach offering. It frightened them. And in order not to arouse the wrath of the Egyptians, they were going to eat it partially raw cooked, hoping that the Egyptians would not notice. Now, consequently, God told Moses to tell the people, enough is enough. Stop walking with your heads bowed down. Lift them up and be proud of the fact that you are Jews and free people. Roast the sacrifice on fire. Let the aroma be smelled from one end of Egypt to the other. And let the entire country know that you are proudly worshiping your God. For God's message to the Jewish people was that freedom of religion means that you can practice your religious beliefs freely and that no one can stop you. Now, however, if a person is embarrassed to openly declare his religious convictions or publicly practice them, he's not totally or really free. He is unfortunately in self-imposed exile and suffering from self-made religious oppression. Now, even in our free country of Canada, there's still people, unfortunately, who are still ashamed and to attempt to conceal their Jewish identity, whether it be, you know, on university campuses, whether it be in business, with other people in their company. They're ashamed of their Torah observance, or they're ashamed of their family, the way that they're bringing it up. Now, you know, even to our neighbors, we're scared to tell them, you know, that they know that they were Jewish, God forbid. But fortunately, things have changed to the better. Today we meet people in every field of business and profession who proudly make it known that they're Jewish. Not just in theory. Oh yeah, by the way, I'm Jewish. But they practice.
Yeah, look at all the Nobel Prizes.
Right, exactly.
What a big percentage.
100%. And they weren't scared to say that they were Jewish. Such people are experiencing the freedom of religion of our country office. And so therefore I think that being proud of our commitment to Torah and to God will make God proud of us, and he will reciprocate by giving us all that we need. So, yes, we might sometimes feel, you know, embarrassed or scared. But people look, I see this all the time. People respect people that have a respect for who they are. People respect them. Wow, I'm not embarrassed. I'm proud of who I am. So if you're proud of who you are, why should you be embarrassed? I think that's one of the most important messages that God was teaching us and teaching the Jews. And as human beings, and if you're, for example, a Christian, you'd be happy that you're a Christian. And that you're not going to be scared. You're going to be proud of who you are in every religion.
I agree.
And I think with that, it's something that we can literally make part of our lives. And with that, hopefully, make this world a better place and a place that God feels comfortable in living in our home and in our world.
Rabbi, services.
Services Friday evening are 5:50, Shabbat morning at 9:30, and Sunday and 8:15 followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday at 10:15. So we start the day off good.
That's good. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and a great weekend.
You too. Be well.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
Looking forward to.
Thank you.
Okay, be well.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.